This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott.
I'm a spy.
The NSA's warrantless wiretap program is necessary to gather intelligence that will keep us safe, they say. But in the months leading up to 9/11, a division chief of the Minneapolis office of the FBI, Colleen Rowley, was trying to warn headquarters in Washington that a Mr. Zacharias Moussaoui was taking flying lessons, but had asserted he didn't need to learn how to land a plane. Rowley's repeated notifications to superiors in Washington largely fell on deaf ears. In early August 2001, a particular presidential daily briefing alerted President Bush, quote, Osama bin Laden determined to act inside the United States. We were not lacking intelligence that could have staved off the 9/11 attacks. The intelligence was being received by a group of neoconservatives with a prior agenda looking only for some way to justify attacking oil-rich Iraq. An unjust war that has caused us to raise the national debt ceiling to $9 trillion. Someone in Vice President Dick Cheney's chain of command revealed the identity of covert CIA operative Valerie Plame, evidently because her husband, Ambassador Joe Wilson, made public the fact that Iraq had not sought to buy weapons-grade uranium. The administration has thumbed its collective nose at internationally respected treaties and laws such as the Geneva Convention, allowing black sites or secret prisons and torture. Our government has clearly made America more enemies than ever before. Some have called this administration an imperial presidency and offered that the breaking of the Fourth Amendment and the FISA law may be more about testing the limits of executive power than honest or necessary surveillance. President Nixon's former White House counsel, John Dean, the author of Worse Than Watergate, has stated that in admitting to skirting the FISA law, President Bush has admitted to an impeachable offense. Writing for Raw Story, investigative journalist Larissa Alexandrovna has reported on most of those issues and talks with Kathy Golden by phone. Larissa Alexandrovna.
Where is all this going? I don't know. We've definitely seen legal questions here. We've seen laws being broken. And in my opinion, I don't think we've just seen high crimes and misdemeanors. I think we've seen treason.
Of all these stories, and they do all seem to intersect, what do you think could make the biggest change in the next year or 2 years?
I think you're going to see the NSA spying. It's the most obvious breaking of the law. The law is very specific. The law has been broken, and they're now arguing the case as though they were in court for motive. But in reality, whatever the motive, justified or not, it doesn't change that the law has been broken. Very clear-cut law. So I think that's where you're going to see it all turning, because there's so much muddying of waters with regard to the buildup to Iraq war, the pre-war intelligence. There's so much misinformation that it's very difficult to say, okay, this absolutely broke the law, even though you have things like the Downing Street memos, even though you have things like the Niger forgeries, even though you know that analysts were literally, you know, harassed on almost a daily basis to come up with a bogus analysis. It still doesn't show necessarily a law has been violated. And the same with Valerie Plame. Like, aside from obstruction and perjury, as a prosecutor, if this was a civil case, I think you could absolutely prove there was a conspiracy to silence this woman and her husband. But you can't prove who knew what when, because it was so muddied. Two people told two people, and they told a few people, and they told a few people, and how are you going to track that? So now you've got the NSA spying thing is very clear-cut. There's a law, the law was broken, and there isn't any kind of room to wiggle out of that. So that's what I think is going to be probably, if something happens, assuming we still have a democracy, that would be, I think, where it happens.
What is your expectation in terms of actions, let's say, stemming from this?
You have to remember, the military has very successfully avoided releasing documents and photographs and four videos. Even after the judge has ruled, you have to release three of those videos. The Pentagon's been very successful at twisting the whistleblower law and the FOIA law to prevent any release of what should be public information. So it's going to be very hard without even though there's a lot of evidence, the most important evidence, the evidence that I think will show beyond a shadow of a doubt, which is the videotapes.
This is stemming from the prisons and the torture.
Right, because the crimes against humanity, first of all, we're torturing. Second of all, we're detaining without reason for God knows how long, indefinitely. Most of these people are then released and not charged. I think less than 2% have ever been charged. And, you know, we just release them like, okay, thanks for hanging out for the last 3-4 years. Sorry about the torture. Here you go. Bye. And they have to then sign a confidentiality paper to get out. And so I think that's harder to prove because while you do have witnesses, you don't have the cataloging. You know, you have a few photos. You see maybe, you know, a Lindy England type of person standing somewhere, and you could say, okay, that person standing there must have done that. But you're not going to see a higher chain of command that can be attributed to anybody like Rumsfeld because, you know, it became such a pervasive policy.
It gets more confusing when you find out that some of the tormentors or questioners or whatever they choose to call them were not part of the military. They were contractors.
Right, right. Actually, quite a few of them. And in fact, we've privatized almost every aspect except for the dying part. That we've left to, you know, regular military American citizens to go do. But even like cooking for the rest of your fellow soldiers type of thing has been outsourced. So you've got mercenaries from various countries. You've got private contractors. So, yeah, it's absolutely very difficult. But with the videos, you can certainly see, if you look at all the videos, is there a similarity? How is this being done? You know, if you look at all the documents together, you can reconstruct an obvious policy, but the Pentagon won't release those documents.
Is there any way that they will become part of the public record?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure how anymore. The judge has already ruled over and over that this is not something that can be withheld and that the public has a right to know, and it still hasn't been released.
If you're just joining us, this is Voices of Our World, and we're talking with Larissa Alexandrovna.
The judge ordered 3 of the 4 videos, and I don't have on hand the number of documents, photographs. But the important thing is the videos, because in those videos is where you see that it's not just some Al-Qaeda generic thing. You hear children being raped, and I think that then can show to the public, to the masses, look, we are way off course here. Look at what we're talking about. But until those things are released, you know, we're still being given the argument of a few bad apples.
Yeah, but you know, it's a funny thing. Just like the Nixon tapes eventually emerged from Mr. Butterfield's lips, once you've made the mistake of documenting something, as Shakespeare said, the truth will out. You can't keep this stuff back forever.
Well, here's my question, and I actually had a meeting with the ACLU attorneys in the documents case. And I said, okay, you know, this is going to sound bizarre, but basically when you're going after a mafia boss, you can't ever convict them of what it is they really did. You go for RICO charges because that's the easiest to prove.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, I said, let me ask you this. This is going to sound crazy, but you've got the military, you know, whoever this is that's raping these children, somebody else is recording it, and the military is in possession of it. Can you get them on child porn? And they kind of looked at me like I was crazy and said, well, this is torture. I said, I understand, but can't we, you know, think of like RICO and the mafia. Is this like a doable thing? I don't think they got what I was talking about.
No, but interesting that you say that because the killers of Cheney and Schwerner, et cetera, those guys weren't eventually convicted for murder, which is what they did. It was interfering with their civil rights.
Right, because the memo from the Department of Justice allows these interrogations, right, for a particular reason. Okay, but it says nothing of child pornography, so wait a minute here. Why is our military not only engaging in, but in possession of child pornography? You release those videos so that the world can see, and certainly the public can see, because the public doesn't understand a lot of what's going on. They assume there's some enemy somewhere and whatever. But if they see children, I think they'll understand that this is, we've completely lost control of our government here. What I don't understand, really, frankly, what's been bothering me is why are we torturing random people? Until this NSA thing came out. And then I thought, oh my God, we're data mining. That's what we're data mining. I really think that's what we may be doing. Because I don't know if you're familiar with the theory of large numbers. you know, you try to grab as many kind of different types of people from different parts of the world, and you ask them a series of questions, and you feed it all in, and you identify a pattern of some sort. I wonder if that's what we're doing, because I can't understand this kind of level of torture. This many people makes no sense. But recently I've gotten hope. I don't know why. I think maybe it has to do with that there's more people standing with sanity and reason than there are not. Whereas before, you know, I don't know if you felt this way, but I thought I was going nuts, thinking, what is going on here? Am I the only one who sees this? But the good thing is, you know, whereas before I felt like I was, you know, sort of floating alone in insanity or this huge disconnect that I was in a completely other universe, I see that there's a majority standing with me, as it were. That gives me hope and comfort because, you know, it's the majority of the country, frankly, is opposed to what's going on every level. And I know the pundits like to spin it, you know, the I think they're talking to their base, the most, you know, the core of their base, the most detached from reality, who still believe a lot of this. But the majority of the public is really just not comfortable with where we're going at all. And I think that gives me hope. And I think maybe if that continues to move in that direction and we can change the entire composition of the Congress in November, then we might be able to not only teach the necessary people, but we might have a serious contender in terms of succession. The other thing we have on our side is time. If you look at history, tyranny doesn't last that long anymore. And we've got 200 years of a democracy behind us. And, you know, what we've seen as the tyrannies fall down very fast in modern history. So all of those things are on our side. Now, whether America will be the home of democracy, or that whole concept shifts somewhere else, this is a whole other matter. But I do think democracy in and of itself will survive.
Thank you so much, Larissa Alexandrovna.
Thank you.
So, is it all right with you if the government listens to your phone calls, reads your email, or checks out what websites you visit? Email us at radio@marynold.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Melvin Goodman and Larissa Alexandrovna are just two of the voices of our world. This week's show was produced by Kathy Golden, and I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our weekly question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or try Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.